And I smiled to myself as I walked in to the room, because the thought came to me that we could only accept the invitation because we have all not been aborted. I would not be so excited about that. I find myself here to represent the Catholic Church because the Archbishop asked me to come. And somebody said to me, well, you know, you could talk for yourself too. But that is not why I'm here. The teaching of the Church is both clear and complex. Abortion is a seriously wrongful act. But the teaching has been put in positive terms, which is often missed when people get into debate, especially in what we call today the culture wars of North America. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. Human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the moment of our existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which is the inviolable right of every innocent human being to life. The fundamental principle is the recognition that each and every human being is unique, made in the image and likeness of God. Now, that is a religious and a spiritual position to take, and I think we have to recognize that. But it is a position which the Church believes is true for every human being, regardless of color, class, or creed. There is a basic respect due to us as such, across the spectrum, so that it is not permissible to intentionally kill even the old and the weak. Life is the real issue. And that's the first fundamental point I want to make. Unless we have a clear understanding of what life is, unless we in our own being seek to be in tune with what our own life means, and out of that attunement, therefore, to be able to be in communion with every other living human being, we are going to reduce abortion to a question of me and my life and something. One of the things I found extremely important in my own work in Lavender with young men is to encourage them when a girl says, I'm making a child for you. You know, one of the things that really surprised me as I got more into it was that a lot of young men just speak about it as, I had a breed, she. You know, that's how they see it. And when she come and she say, I'm making a child for you, there's an initial happiness, but then there's a withdrawal. She making a child for me. And you walk the streets and that one making a child for you. And if you're lucky, you might have two or three other people making a child for you. But when you begin to understand that this is life, and this is another human being, and therefore the encouragement, and one fella laughed at me when I told him, I said, listen, you're still having sex with a girl? The next time, just put your head on your belly and just try to sense what's going on and talk to her about that. That there is life within her, and you are responsible for that life. So we're talking then about a culture of life. And I could never agree with those who say that an abortion decision is a decision between a woman and her doctor. I think we've said that for too long. We have to build a culture in which men and women together understand that conception is something that we engage in together. And that therefore I have a responsibility for what is conceived as much as you are the one carrying what is conceived. Now, I'm not fooling myself on this. That is not going to happen overnight. But what I am suggesting is that the debate cannot simply remain on the level of to kill or not to kill, to destroy or not to destroy. The debate has to be at the level of what kind of society are we going to build in which we recognize the rights of every person within it. And then we can have another debate. A side debate in some ways about the definition of human being and person. So, Some women have said that for them, what they experience in pregnancy is a distinct human life within them, even if it is not a fully independent one, that it possesses a beating heart, an individual blood type, a rapidly forming and active brain, and a genetic makeup that, being different from either parents, would make it a unique he or she in the world. That is what we're dealing with. The experience of women who are prepared to engage with the reality of the life within them. It is not just a thing. It has a DNA that is distinctively human, and we have to grasp that. So pregnancy then becomes a factual condition in which one human body is living inside another human body. And this therefore calls for an intimate communion, even then, a more intimate than that of a friend or a lover, and some people would say even than that of a parent or a child. It is that intimacy that we have to get in touch with if we are to talk at all about adequate moral solutions and responses. The author, George Beckwith, says, there is no moral difference between a person based on geographical location. And when he talks about geographical location, he's obviously talking about within the womb or out of the womb. It is still a person. And while I don't agree with the general focus of that, because I think it carries with it a container view of pregnancy which goes against the intimacy and the relationality that I'm speaking of here, I think it does remind us that inside or outside, we are still dealing with a human being. Richard McBrien, one of the best known of Catholic moral theologians, he died last year, places the abortion question in a most perplexing context. He says abortion is a matter that is morally problematic, pastorally delicate, legislatively thorny, constitutionally insecure, ecumenically divisive, medically normless, humanly anguishing, racially provocative, journalistically abused, personally biased, and widely performed. What he's getting at there is just to help people to understand, especially in our context of culture wars, that it is not that easy to pinpoint the various challenges that we face, but we have to face them all the same. I was told that this is about law and legislation, as Dr. Khan indicated at the beginning. And I was very happy that Dr. Sharp clarified for us that in Trinidad and Tobago today, there is a law that allows certain things. Abortion to preserve mental health, abortion to preserve the physical health of the mother, abortion to save the life of the woman. Nowhere in those categorizations is there any reference to the welfare of a child. And that is a consideration which we must look at. And the Catholic Church is absolutely clear that the child is important and the child must be defended, even if it is still in the womb. So while we will say yes to discussion, sure, let's discuss it. But we cannot discuss it simply in terms of women's rights. We have to discuss it in terms of the kind of society we want to build, in which we understand what life means. Because this has consequences for every other thing in the society. It is part of a whole. And when we understand that young men pick up a gun and they think absolutely nothing of just shooting another human being, that is part of the life valuing. That is part of the life value. And we have a lot of work to do. I have no illusions about it. And I keep saying to my brother priests who are rabidly anti-abortion, hey, that's not enough. That can never be enough. We have to work to build the culture in which people will not need to have emotions because their own instincts will guide them in certain ways. The letter that was sent to me mentioned Zika particularly, and I just want to say something briefly about that, because I think it also impinges on other issues as well. Zika came about, and the first thing people began to talk about is, it's a chance. Let's see what we can do about the abortion question. Zika is about more than that. Zika is about caring for human beings in the first place, right? The medical people among you will be better capable of saying than I am exactly what is going on with Zika. In the beginning, we were clear that some people think that it may. Now I'm hearing a discussion that seems a little bit more definite. But even if it is definite, we have to ask ourselves, what is the real problem? And there is a perfectionism, which as a philosophy is absolutely inhumane, whereby people seem to think that we as human beings must aim to produce what is perfect or not produce it at all. And that just can't be right. If something comes in to the human sphere and it is imperfect for one reason or another, it is a challenge not to destroy, but to love all the more deeply. Tomorrow, a set of children will do SEA. My understanding is that 17% of the children doing SEA have some degree of autism. They can't read. If we knew that before they were born, what would we do? The same thing applies to cerebral palsy, to Down syndrome, microcephaly mentioned already, hydrocephaly, better known as big head. And when I first thought of that some years ago, I said to myself, you know, if my mother had known I was coming out with a big head, because I had one when I was small, you know, I might not have existed. The point is, where do we stop if we take that approach to the problems that we have? And there is a saying that I think we all need to think about. Life is not a problem to be solved. It is a mystery to be lived. And the mystery includes all the imperfections. You know, as John Legend reminds us, all the curves and imperfections. So finally, I want just to quote a good friend of mine, a professor of ethics and law. She writes, "The evidence suggests that a woman's decision to have an abortion is far more influenced by her relationship to her family and friends, and especially to the father of her child, as well as her social and economic circumstances, than to her level of intimacy with the growing life inside her. In fact, most decisions to abort are made before the baby's presence is made known by anything more relational than a plus sign or a pregnancy test. It is the level of connection and intimacy with the baby's father that matters most. Studies show that unmarried women, very young women, and women without financial resources are far more likely to seek abortion as a solution to an unwanted pregnancy. Normatively, abortion is a heart-wrenching and difficult problem because the most vulnerable class of human beings, the unborn, are totally dependent on human beings who are themselves very vulnerable." And we have to know that. "Women facing crises in pregnancies. Pope John Paul II recognized in the Gospel of Life, isolating the woman and child together in their vulnerability is never the right response. We must build a culture of life, and it cannot be reduced to the negative goal of prohibiting abortion, even if it were legally and politically possible to do so. Rather, we must be sure that in seeking to deal with the abortion question, we must have realistic social policies that encourage pregnant women to carry their children to term." Brothers and sisters, Oh, sorry, I forget a lot in church. But in the world of thought and thinking and in a commitment to the best society that we want, I think I can call all of you brothers and sisters. We are not dealing with a simple issue. We are dealing with a tremendous challenge to the kind of society we want to build, to the values that are to be its foundations. Let the dialogue go on, but let us never presume that it will be easy. Thank you.